Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom.
Welcome back to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I am Coach Lauren, and I don't have Nicole with me, but I do have a very special guest that I'm so excited for everybody to meet. Heather, hi, how are you today?
Hey. Great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so excited for you to share what it was like coaching. Heather and I worked together for about a year, and she recently graduated. And I'm so excited for her to share with everybody everything she learned along the way, the progress that she made. She just did so fantastic throughout the whole process and really worked hard and showed up and was vulnerable and did all the things that helps clients be successful. So I'm going to put it to you now, Heather. For those who don't really know you, what can you tell us about yourself?
So I am a business owner and a mom of three very busy teenagers. I enjoy long walks outside in nature, and I love listening to a good book.
I love it. I love it. Nicole always says that it's like your dating profile, and I feel like you hit that perfectly.
Yes.
And let me tell you guys, I can confirm when she says she's busy, like her schedule with these kids is insane. So she's undershooting it a bit, but yes, she's a very busy mom. So I think that makes you all the more relatable and inspiring to everybody listening who thinks, well, how can I fit this into my life?
Yes. Yep. It's definitely a process, and it takes work and effort, but it's been great the whole time.
It was a fantastic process with you. So why did you initially invest in nutrition coaching? What was your overall goal?
So I first started, I found Lauren and Nicole basically both on Instagram, and I kind of started following them for a little while and kind of seeing what they were all about. And they offered the 8-week diet-free fat loss course. And I just decided that having some groups accountability, learning from some other ladies and learning from them as coaches would just be probably a good step in my progress. Like Lauren said, I'm extremely busy. I am in the car most evenings running kids to practices and so forth, sometimes driving up to 5 hours in a night for that type of a thing. And so I needed to have something that I could listen to, actively be involved in that way. And that was just kind of the jump start on my nutrition journey.
Let's talk about the group coaching for a second here. At the end of those 8 weeks, do you feel like you had made some pretty good strides towards your overall goals? Because pretty much immediately, if I'm remembering correctly, you and I jumped into one-on-one coaching. So can you tell a little bit about that, like, gap between completing the 8-week group coaching course, what you felt like you learned and got out of that course, and what, you know, caused you to feel so motivated to continue on with one-on-one coaching?
Yeah, honestly, I kind of went into it thinking like, oh, I want to lose weight and I want to, like, you know, get my body into like this great shape. And I think about 2 to 3 weeks into the course, I realized that honestly, that was not the right space for me in that time of my life. And so I finished up the 8 weeks knowing that I really needed to focus more on maintenance and learning what maintenance was versus trying to do the fat loss. And it was way opposite of what I thought it was going to be going into the program. But very shortly into it, I realized, like, no, this is not where you're at. If you can't learn how to do maintenance, you're going to really struggle with that yo-yo dieting kind of long term. And so at the end of the 8 weeks, I felt like I had learned a lot, but I knew that I wanted some, like, one-on-one, like, accountability and, like, talking through my life in particular and what that looks like for me in the stage of life that I was in. And so shortly then after the group was over, I reached out and said that I would like someone. And I actually went into my one-on-one coaching with the goal of maintenance rather than fat loss.
I remember that. And I think that's so helpful because we just spent months just building a really mm-hmm. solid foundation. And then you were able to have, when you were ready, when you felt like life was relatively slowed down. Of course, we all know that's a very subjective term, but you were able to build on that super strong, solid foundation of just quality health habits that we had developed and have a successful fat loss phase. And we did reach some of those goals. So being willing to set your initial goal aside helped you achieve that longer term success. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think that was the hardest thing. And then not feeling like setting that fat loss aside, that is not equivalent to failure. And my whole life, I just kind of felt like if I couldn't pursue fat loss, then I was failing. And to realize that maintenance is just a different kind of work. And it's really the work that you got to put in for the long term. And fat loss is more shorter term cycles. And so, again, the aspect of not letting that feel like you're a failure because you're not in fat loss was really one of the key things that I took away from the initial 8-week course together, and then knew that that was what I wanted to pursue on one-on-one coaching.
Oh, I love it. And I think that speaks to one of like the biggest lies that diet culture tells us, that we have to always be striving towards the smallest version of ourselves. And I think probably most of the people listening, I know yourself, I know myself, have had that experience where when that's all you're ever working towards, it's just setting you up to yo-yo diet. Because like you mentioned, then you're never learning those valuable skills that you need to maintain results.
Yes.
So kind of going off of that, did you have any fears when you were either signing up for the group coaching program or jumping into one-on-one coaching? Were there any fears or hesitations that you had?
Probably the number one is just the fear of failure, because every other diet I've ever tried, it worked short term a lot of times, but the fear of failure of not being able to maintain was probably one of the biggest things. And when I first jumped into like the group coaching, I was nervous of like talking to other people and like sharing my experiences and, you know, just kind of like that vulnerability aspect, even of working with a coach one-on-one, like they have to see all your numbers and so forth. Some of those were my fears. But I was able to very quickly get over those. The group was amazing and people just kind of reached out to each other. And both Lauren and Nicole, there was never like, once I got involved, there was never that vulnerability, like being scared of in the future.
I find that like with the group coaching, especially, your fears can kind of dissipate because you learn like, oh, the things that I'm thinking and the things that I'm struggling with are actually really common. I feel like we can always feel like alone. Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? Why can't I be successful? Because we see success on social media, right? Like that's all you see. It's the highlight reels. So it makes you feel like, what's wrong with me? But then in that group atmosphere or just working with a coach who can be really honest about, yeah, no, this is totally a normal part of the process. It's 100% normal that you're having these thoughts and self-doubts. I think it helps just normalize it.
Yes.
And make you feel not as alone.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that because we do see on social media and so forth, these, you know, trainers and so forth saying you have to do this all the time, and realizing that it really is individualized. Everybody's success story is different, and not one person's success story should be compared to another person's success story. And I felt like even in group coaching, that like was really brought out, because we could celebrate somebody's success and that might not be a struggle that I was having, but then they could celebrate my success that might not be able to relate to them. So
100%. And one of the things that I do with one-on-one clients and also that we did together in group was talk about our wins. And like you just mentioned, everybody's wins are totally different. Some person's win might be going for a walk for 5 minutes, and somebody else's might be eating a piece of pizza with no guilt, and somebody else's might be turning down that piece of pizza because it's not supporting their goals. That is why I feel that one-on-one coaching is so valuable, because it helps give you your individualized roadmap to success. Because
yes,
you have a very specific lifestyle with your driving and your kids. I couldn't give, you know, you, okay, do this and this and this, do what I do, because my lifestyle isn't the same as yours.
Yeah. And I think that you mentioned about like the successes and like noticing those. And I started finding myself during the week thinking, oh, I want to write this down. I want to share this with Lauren. And I started noticing those rather than only noticing the times that I maybe didn't make the correct choices that were goal supportive. And so I think that that mind shift was just a huge part in my success over the coaching period.
I am obsessed with that because we know that what our brains are trained to notice is what they're going to notice. So if your pattern is to only pay attention to all the ways you're not hitting the mark or quote unquote failing, that's what you're going to notice. So one of the most important things I think I do when I'm helping people is train them to find the wins because we're really hard on ourselves.
Yes.
I think especially as women, we set these insanely high expectations for ourselves. We are people pleasers. We're trying to make everybody around us happy. We put ourselves at the bottom of the list, but then we also are beating ourselves up if we're not, you know, hitting these marks perfectly. So it's easy to find the things we're doing wrong. It's harder yes. at first to be like, man, I didn't get my full workout in, but I got half of a workout in, and that's awesome. I did this, you know, like I meal prepped a little bit, and that is making my whole week easier. What a huge win. So there are wins everywhere. And I love that you were excited to share them. You always did such a great job filling in your check-in forms and sharing your wins. And it's an important part of the process.
It is. Yep. I would agree.
So we've kind of already talked about this, but how has coaching ultimately helped you reach your goal? And two-parter here, what progress are you most proud of?
Okay. So the first part was how had it helped me achieve my goal? A lot of it was just the, I don't even want to use the word accountability, but like talking through, one of the first things that comes to mind is our family goes camping every summer and we eat ice cream at this local ice cream shop every night. And I knew that I wanted to maintain where I was at the current time. And I knew eating ice cream was not in the best goal supportive choices for me every single night. So I was able to talk through with Lauren. We came up with a plan with exactly basically how many nights that I would choose ice cream. And I went into the week like fully satisfied with knowing what my plan was and so forth. I don't honestly think that I could have thought through that necessarily on my own because I was letting emotions and past experiences dictate what I wanted when in all reality, over the past, if I really stop and think about it, I was miserable most nights because I ate ice cream every night. And that's really not the best thing for me for, you know, an entire week to 10 days. So that's just one little example of like how it was helping me be successful again with my specific lifestyle. And even one-on-one coaching versus group coaching, the one-on-one just takes that to a totally different level because they can focus specifically on you and what your needs are. And some weeks it was like, I just need you to be a cheerleader for me. And other weeks it's like, we need to work on something. And so I think that was what I really came away with from one-on-one coaching, the success of that. And please remind me of your second question.
That's okay. What progress are you most proud of?
I feel like the progress that I'm most proud of is how good I feel. It has nothing to do with the scale. Again, I came into it knowing that I really needed to work on maintenance. I did have a very successful fat loss phase in there, but I feel better now mentally and physically. Food is no longer like a fear of making sure that I'm in this perfect little box. I have developed the habits. And so I just kind of do things naturally now. And so it's taken away a lot of the mental headache that was in my life around food and food choices and those type of things. So I think that the way that I feel, that encompasses physical and mental, because I'm fueling my body correctly, working out on a consistent basis, getting in steps on a consistent basis, drinking water on a consistent basis. But the mental aspect is just as important to me as the physical aspect.
It's interesting too how tied together those two things are, because yeah. when you're really feeling confident in your food choices and you're actually nourishing your body and you're moving your body in a way that is making you feel better and not forcing yourself to do, you know, whatever, these high intensity workouts or these like super long, crazy workouts, whatever it may be. You just feel more at peace in your body and with food. And it just slowly over time just becomes less and less of this thing you have to obsess over. And I've said it a million times, but in my opinion, the food freedom, the mental, getting rid of that mental obsession with food is probably the best thing you can do for yourself. It just frees up so much mental space and brings such like calm to a relationship, your relationship with food and your body, where for a lot of years, a lot of women just feel totally chaotic and almost at war with it. So if you can come and find peace in there, I think that that really can transform your life. It adds so much quality of life back.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, even though I'm not necessarily technically where I want to still be, I've got some future goals. I can honestly say that at this point in my life, where I'm at for the next 3 months due to kids' schedules and busyness, I'm like fully okay with where I'm at and making the choices to continue day to day to have that mental freedom. And that's the biggest part of it.
Oh, I love it. I want to go back to what you were talking about, like with the ice cream example. I feel like what is so helpful in those situations is, like you mentioned, I was too in it. I was too emotional. It's so helpful to have that totally objective, you know, point of view where somebody else, like if you're not in it, it's really helpful to have somebody say like, well, let's break this down for a second. We don't want to restrict, but we also want to feel good. What does that look like and feel like for you? Because as your coach, I will never say this is what you have to do. We worked very well together as a team deciding what feels best for you. And nobody can tell you that. You have to figure that out for yourself. But at the same time, it is so helpful to have a totally objective, detached person who has your best interests at heart, but is also not in the thick of it alongside with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And even that week going into it, like I don't even remember if it was like I was going to eat ice cream 3 times or 4 times, something like that. I never like even went into the evenings of that experience thinking I can only eat that. It just was like, this is a choice that I know I will feel better about physically and mentally at the end of the week. But it still didn't feel restrictive because it was something that we kind of came up with together. Like what we thought was a good balance of enjoying time with my family and not feeling restrictive. And so, yes, it kind of was a balanced thing where you didn't tell me what to do. I decided on my own, which is actually what's going to stick long-term. If I can learn to step back from situations that are probably more emotional than they are physical hunger issues or cues or something like that. If I can take a step back and think, okay, what did I do with the ice cream? Okay, now how can I apply this to myself 5 years down the road when I have another situation that I'm going to be in facing?
I love this example because it sounds kind of silly, right? How often am I going to eat ice cream on a trip? Except that it's not, because I think we've all been in that situation where we have that mental turmoil going on in our brains of, I want to eat it, but if I eat it, then I'm going to gain the weight and then I'll feel out of control and I can never stop at one scoop and I always end up having the giant sundae and every night and then I come home from the trip and I feel awful. I feel like most women can relate to that, or they're passing on it but they're like thinking about it obsessively. I wish I could have it, but I can't have it. It's bad if I have it. And so, yes, we're honing in on one example here. I think it really points to like a bigger picture of what we were saying before with like just peace surrounding food and your food choices and knowing that you are fully capable of making those choices that are in alignment with your goals and your values.
Yes. Yeah. I think it just, every single time something like that happens, it just gives you more confidence in the next time. And it makes that mental decision so much easier going forward.
Oh, 100%. A drop in the bucket, but it adds up. I was just sharing this in group coaching this week. Actually, we're running a group coaching round right now. And I was sharing about the paper towel analogy, where if you have a paper towel and every day you tear off one sheet, you're not noticing those changes every day, but over weeks, it adds up and that paper towel gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And we can kind of use it in this situation of every time you tear off a paper towel, it's a vote of confidence for the person that you want to become, that person, that the eater that you want to become, the person who thinks about food in a certain way, who acts around food in a certain way, and movement and your body. And it doesn't look like a huge big deal in the moment. Tearing off one paper towel doesn't change it really, but over time it keeps adding up.
Yes, I love that analogy. I don't remember that from our group coaching. So
I don't know if I used it on your, it's not one, it's an old one that I had heard about and I like whipped it out the other night on the group coaching call, and it applies to so much. I think I originally heard it in terms of fat loss, but it can, you know, which yeah, sure, it applies there too, but it applies to anything. You're just doing those small baby steps over time. So would you recommend one-on-one nutrition coaching to someone else in a similar situation?
I 100% would. I mean, I would recommend it for maintenance, for fat loss, either or. And I feel like a lot of people feel like maybe they only need it for the fat loss aspect. But I really, truly believe after going through this last year that the maintenance and just the healthy habits that were acquired over time, that is actually almost more important and for one-on-one coaching than even the fat loss phase.
I agree, because most people have been successful at some point in their life with losing weight, right?
Yeah.
Most people know how to diet. And I kind of almost say that in quotes. A lot of people don't know how to maintain results. And there's a bunch of different reasons for that. But when you come at it from a place of what kind of habits do I need to build, as opposed to what foods am I cutting out? How little do I have to eat? How much do I have to kill myself in the gym? It changes everything.
Yeah. I think that the habits that were given to us in the group coaching, and then of course, Lauren and I worked through those, you know, long-term, that to me was really attracted me after the group coaching to stick with the nutrition with Nicole and with Lauren, that concept, because I love the science and the like kind of the geek out background of all of this stuff, but I could see like how sustainable that is. If I can just, not just me, but if you can just learn to develop those habits. And I remember after, I think it was after one of my fat loss or my fat loss phase, Lauren and I discussing the fact that where I felt like I was, and I made the comment like the habits aren't easy, or like maintaining isn't easy, but it is a habit. So I don't even think about 90% of the things anymore. And I think that, I know I keep saying stuff about thinking about, but I do feel like most of the nutrition journey is mental, not just physical. If I get to the gym in the morning, it's a mental choice. It's not always just physical. Yes, you got to give your body rest and so forth, but most of what comes along with healthy nutrition eating is starts with the mental aspect and then becomes physical.
100%. One of my favorite sayings is easy is earned, right? You have to earn that easy. It's hard when you're in the thick of building new habits, but look at the payoff. It's so worth the work. I steal this from a client. A client said this to me. We were talking through something similar and she said, well, both things are uncomfortable, right? Like if I am having a craving and I give into it and I don't end up reaching my goals and that becomes my habit, that's uncomfortable and it's getting me nowhere. Versus if I have a craving and I choose to do a more goal supportive choice, that's uncomfortable too, but here's where I steal from her. She said it's discomfort with a purpose.
Yes.
And I love that. And it gets you, once you learn to deal with that discomfort and you just keep pushing through, it gets easier and easier and easier until, like you said, 90% of it's on autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily effortless, but it's just your habit. It's just what you do after a while.
Yeah. The other thing I did want to mention too, that I know you posted about it this week, that I really enjoyed from, especially maybe the last 4 to 8 weeks of our time together, was the good enough is good enough. And if you're a perfectionist like I am, you feel like everything has to be perfect. And that was just something that Lauren really helped me kind of come to realize, that with my schedule and doing different things, sometimes, you know, good enough had to become good enough, and really good enough was exactly what it should, what it needed to be. And that is okay. And so that's just one other thing I wanted to bring up that was like super meaningful and helpful and teaching me what good enough was. Not just like, you know, eating the ice cream every night just because that's good enough, it's good enough. But like realizing what actually good enough is, and if you have to get the prepackaged things to help you out, and, you know, all the just different things, you know, maybe one day you didn't get quite as much water in, but maybe you were in meetings all day and couldn't help it. You couldn't get up. Just knowing that each day you just kind of have to reevaluate what is good enough, and then actually being okay with that in your heart and not letting guilt overcome that.
Oh, that's such an important point to make. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yeah, if you're waiting for the time where you can be perfect, you're going to be waiting for a really long time.
Yes.
Because our lives are just not set up that way. They're not. No matter if you're a parent or not, work full-time or not, I mean, everybody has things going on. And life is going to get in the way. It's going to throw you a curveball. So it's a necessary skill to develop, the ability to pivot or the ability to find, okay, well, my plan can't go perfectly according to plan, but what can I do? How can I make it work and be good enough? I've been posting about that a lot because, like yourself, I'm in the thick of a very busy parenting season right now. And I mean, in the last week, I've eaten two meals literally driving from one thing to the next, which never happens to me in my life, but it is right now, and I'm making the best of it. Of course, these meals are not going to be the most perfect ideal meals, but they're good enough. They're checking
out. That is one tagline that will always stick with me.
Good. Oh, I love it. I love it when I get in people's head. All right. Two final questions. Well, really, we'll combine this into one. What would you say to someone who is currently feeling like you did before you committed to coaching? So you mentioned that you had some fear of failure. You mentioned that you were a little, had that fear of being vulnerable. So what did you need to hear most in that moment? What do you think, like looking back at Heather from a year ago, what would have been really helpful to hear?
I think the immediate thing that like came to my mind is that you fail at everything that you don't try. And so I guess my advice would be just to dive in and try it. I think that it is one of the most helpful things I did. And I didn't really even think about individual coaching before group coaching, but I would say if you're a little intimidated, that group coaching is great. You can participate not as much if you don't feel like you can at the beginning, and you're not made to talk. You're not really made to do anything out of your comfort zone. It's kind of on what you give to it is what you're going to get out of it. I would just advise anyone to just jump right in.
Dive in, right? I mean, like you said, the only way to fail is to not try. And hopefully people are coming to the process with an open mind, and even through that fear, willing to do the work. Of course, it's scary to open up to somebody else about, I mean, it feels very vulnerable. And I take that as a coach, I take it pretty seriously. I want people to feel very comfortable. I want people to feel like they can open up and that there is no judgment coming from Nicole or I ever. Both of us have probably been in a similar situation. One or both of us have had the same fears, the same struggles. So I love that you said, just jump in. You have to give it a try. It's really the only way. I say this to my kids sometimes, like the only way to get through it is to get through it. Like,
yes. Judgment was the word that I was looking for. Like there was never any judgment involved. And also too, I think that, part of it is like I could relate with Nicole with her upbringing. Like we connected on that aspect. Lauren and I both have kids that are heavily involved in soccer. And so there's connection. There was other women in the group coaching session that little bits and pieces, you can kind of find that commonality. And I think that's what kind of pushes you over that fear is because, like we did mention before, you're not alone. And it just takes getting with someone either individually or in a group setting to realize you aren't alone in your struggles. Although they might be specific to where you're at, they're not just specific to you. You're not the only one going through those. And so having someone come beside you to help is amazing. I have a great family support system, but it's different having that other group of women and coaches specifically to come alongside you just to kind of work through things with you.
Okay. We experienced some technical difficulties there at the end. So I just wanted to say thank you so, so much to Heather for being willing to come on and sharing her story. I hope everybody finds it as inspiring as I do. You know, an extremely busy, full-time working mom of three, still able to make fantastic changes to her habits and her overall health. She made incredible progress over the year that we worked together. And I just can't thank her enough for coming on. And I'm so proud to be just a little tiny part of her story and her journey. So thank you to everybody who listened. Have a fantastic day, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com, where you can sign up for my weekly emails, where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.